The Not Quite Donkey Skin. Written by Hearts Logos. Read by Opalsong. Fandom DCU. Rating General Audiences. Relationship Tim Drake, Jason Todd. Also tagged for Alternate Universe Fantasy and Alternate Universe Modern Setting. Part 4 of the Fairy Tales Lie series. Recorded for Arioch 6 for ITPE 2018. Jason doesn't take Tim to dinner, but that's mostly because both of them are ready to pass the fuck out and reconcile the fact that they almost died. So Tim goes to wherever he lives. Jason could pull his records if he wanted to, but Jason doesn't, Dick, because he isn't a weird stalker, okay, Dick? Okay? And Jason goes back to his apartment to sleep off the terror of the day. Things pass in relative normalcy. Jason cracks down on a few mages who thought it'd be hilarious to start giving out illegal peace potions to college students. He thinks they were trying to start a cartel. He knows that they almost started a gang war. He knows that he definitely ended it by putting them in jail. The point is, things pass in relative peace. Jason does his thing, patrols, investigates reports of suspicious witchcraft and other such happenings. Dick side-eyes him and asks how things are going with Tim. Cass texts him blurred, out of focus, and tilted pictures of what could be a bear in a sweater if you squint and try hard enough. Damien continues to train and ignore all of them. A good strategy, if any. Jason misses the days where he could ignore his crazy relations. He longs for those days. He's pretty sure Bruce does, too. The point is that Jason's getting along okay. He didn't get killed by a giant. The beanstalk is gone. Things are back to normal. Relatively normal, at least. As normal as they can for Jason. Which is to say, not very. Dick barges into his apartment at ass in the morning on fucking Saturday, through the window like the lunatic freak he is, and cartwheels to the center of Jason's room, rips the covers off his bed, and the only thing he can say is, "We have a situation." And in that moment, Jason swears he had never felt more vindictively pleased and self-deprecating, because he knew things couldn't stay so damn good. Is this a situation in which I should be preparing to flee the state from a new militant tyrannical government? Jason asks. Because that's the least radical of all the emergencies that Bruce trained them for. Dick shoots him a look like he's the weird one. No, Jason, don't be ridiculous. Jason can taste it. He can taste the absurd, ridiculous, brain-breaking whatever that Dick's about to spring on him in the fucking air. It tastes like how Christmas lights feel and how snare drums sound. There's an interdimensional rift between our dimension and some sort of dystopian fairy realm, and we've got to stop it in 3 days or we're all going to be slaves to fairies in leather. Bruce can't go because he's got to manage things here, Cass says. I should go. you're still recovering from your job in Scotland, Damien points out. And before he can even say it, everyone's turning to look at him and say, no, you're 10. Damien's mouth clicks shut and he slumps in his chair, arms folded. So it's either me or Dickie, Jason says, and Cass is texting someone. Someone blonde. Someone who turned her into a cat a few months ago. In case anyone forgot, someone with a baby bear for a familiar. And Jason takes executive action to avoid being in the same room as that someone. I'll go. Dick, Bruce, Damien, Alfred, Cass, and the dog shoot him judgmental looks. What happened to wanting to take a break, Jason? Dick asks, all concern and curiosity and barely concealed asshole-like delight at making Jason squirm. If Cass was as fast at texting and typing everything else as she is right at this moment, Jason's pretty sure that Bruce would remove the mandatory talking sessions he's imposed on them. Change my mind. Besides, if you go, then I have to take over your rounds, and I don't think anyone wants me to do that. Jason has a way of making old and middle-aged people want to call the cops on him. Jason's a witch hunter. He supersedes cops, okay? That's like calling the cops on the Pope or some shit like that. Whatever. All right, but do you have a plan of action in mind? I don't know. Why don't you tell me what I'm working with first? Basically, Jason has 3 nights, during which the portal will be open from sundown to sunup, to claim 3 objects from the realm and destroy them. The tricky part is getting to said objects. Bruce is throwing everything at him. Guns, stakes, bullets, a mini crossbow with bolts, steel wires, throwing needles, everything. For the most part, Jason's trying to figure out how he's going to find said objects, how he's going to keep all these weapons on his person, and how he's not going to get fucking lost. Also, how he's supposed to figure out the passage of time between worlds. As Jason is trying to decide between bringing a smaller crossbow or a tire iron with him, there's a distinct rush of not air in the room. A movement of negative energy in negative space, like a suction that momentarily makes Jason's head go funny. Then everything pops back into place. Are you crazy? Are you actually crazy? Tim's voice says from behind him. You're going into an unknown fairy realm by yourself. Are you insane? Hello to you too. So glad to see you, Jason replies. And how the fuck did you know? Steph told me, because friends tell friends when they're about to do something stupid dangerous. Jason sees Tim's hands making wild gestures. Please tell me that this time you actually have a plan. The plan thus far is to find 1 object per night, get rid of it, and not get lost. Shit plan. Jason's had shittier. It's not exactly his fault. It's not like he has any specific information to work on, to begin with. There's the sound of Tim's palm hitting his forehead. I can't. And let me guess, Tim continues, now standing right in front of Jason, reaching out to tug at Jason's hood. You're going to wear this thing. Jason bats Tim's hand away. Yes, as a matter of fact, I was. Why? Tim laughs. I'll have you know this thing has lasted me through fire, hell fire, dragon fire, bullets, knives, energy spells, poison, acid, teeth, and beams of light. Tim snorts. Yes, but you're going into a fairy realm, Jason. You're going to need something better than that. What? And you got that something? You gonna make me a new wardrobe in... Jason glances at the clock. The 6 hours between now and sunset? Tim huffs. I'll do you one better. I'll get you a plan. Tim appears exactly 5 minutes before Jason's supposed to go through the portal. He has a cloak. It's shimmery, pale blue, and looks like it'll tear getting caught on Jason's skin. Tim holds it out to him, expectant. Jason reluctantly drapes it around his shoulders, thinks about his red one hanging in his closet, and feels the odd weight of it settling around him. "It's long," Jason mutters. "I'm gonna trip and kill myself."
"You're the Red Hood, vicious and feared predator of all supernatural wrongdoers. Don't be such a baby," Tim replies. "And where you're going, this is going to help you much more than your cloak."
"It's more a hood than a cloak."
"Either way, it's going to help you more. It's woven out of dragonfly wings, white moa feathers, the dust of blue dragon scales, and unicorn hairs. You're welcome, by the way. Do you know how many places I had to look for this stuff?"
"You made it?" Jason's eyebrows raise, and Tim looks affronted.
"Any witch with their salt knows how to weave, Jason. Do I look like an amateur to you?"
Tim looks like a skinny kid in tragic plaid and outdated band t-shirts, oversized glasses, messy hair, and piercings. He doesn't look like a witch so much as he looks like a teenage punk posing as a really, really stereotypical hippie magic worker. But still. Point. Even the most mediocre of witches know how to weave.
"Anyway, stay within the cloak. You shouldn't be seen or spotted. It'll lead you to whatever you're supposed to find, and it'll leave a trail for you to follow back to the portal."
Tim shows his hands to Jason, and they're covered in faint, glowing glitter. The magic in it makes it glow a bit. Dragon scales and unicorn hairs are pretty sturdy, so you should be fine. The workings will hold, but I'm not so certain how the dimension's magic will affect it. So, find whatever it is quickly, destroy it, and get back here ASAP, okay? As if Jason had any other plan in mind. Jason nods anyway. Tim shuffles and fidgets in place, lips pressed in a thin line. Nods once. And then he's gone. The cloak does, indeed, leave behind a faint, sparkly trace for him to follow. Wherever the portal dumps him is somewhere weird. Crystal-like palace-building city. Everything refracts light, and it's a bit of a headache at first. But Jason figures out that you can see where things are moving depending on how the lights and refracted rainbows move. Jason, in the glimmering cloak that sheds glowing sparkles, fits right in. He keeps the hood low over his face, shadowing as much as possible. He can hear a faint whisper of something, and the cloak is gently nudging him, steering him towards something. The parts that drape around him and his legs pull together, tight, hurting him even as it billows around him.
It's weird. Everything is weird. Jason's life is weird.
The object is the complete opposite of wherever he is. It's dark, jagged, dull. It's a rock. If it was Earth, Jason would say it's basalt or something. He's supposed to destroy it. He's not sure if that means destroying it as in leave no trace of it, or just break it. Jason settles for the latter, because he doesn't know how the fuck he's supposed to atomize a magic alternate dimension rock with what he has on him. There's no sudden explosion, change in weather, apocalyptic event that happens after Jason smashes the thing. He's almost disappointed. It's actually kind of easy. He follows the trail of sparkles, the cloak helping him along the way, back to the portal. One down, two to go. The next morning, Tim shows up at breakfast and makes Jason give him a play-by-play.
"So it went well. Ridiculously, unbelievably well, is what you're saying," Tim says as Cass piles food onto his plate.
"Yes, for the last time, yes." Jason's been asked this 15 different times in the past 20 minutes. It's hard to believe, and yeah, I'm a little suspicious. But yes, don't say anything or you're gonna jinx it.
Tim opens his mouth, then closes it. Okay, fine. I'll be back before you go again tonight. How do you even know this stuff? Jason asks as Tim tosses a white cloak that simultaneously feels like glue and silk at him.
Ghosts are chatty,
Tim replies as Jason settles the cloak around his shoulders. Tim tugs at the edges, adjusting the drape of it.
They like to talk, especially the ones who actually know things. They're unbelievably eager to share information and gossip. It's because they have no one to talk to. It's like gossip, but more useful.
Tim nods, satisfied. Same rules as the last time? Jason asks. Get in, do the dirty deed, get out. Tim snorts.
Yes, Jason. Go in and do the dirty, then get out.
Got it. Jason watches Tim's face for a moment. Why are you helping me? Tim blinks at him, tilting his head. Why wouldn't I help you?
Because I'm a witch hunter and you're a witch. Those two generally don't go together.
The next place the portal takes him to isn't anywhere the same as the first. It's cold. There are trees that shoot out of the ground like dark, charred, jagged fingers, or reversed lightning. Jason looks around, and he doesn't see anyone. But he knows that there's probably someone, somewhere. It's too quiet for him to be alone. Just like before, the cloak starts pulling him towards the object. Whatever it's supposed to be. He turns around and he leaves tracks in the snow. He's pretty sure that this time is going to be a lot different, a lot more dangerous. But there's no trouble. His shoulders are tense and there's a prickle at the back of his neck that's steadily growing. He eventually finds a fire in a cave. At least he knows that all he has to do is put it out.
A shame, because he's so fucking cold.
He puts it out, and that's when the trouble starts. There's a high-pitched screech, loud rumbling, and Jason is getting the fuck out of there. The ground shakes, and the tracks Jason made earlier are gone because the snow's been either covered up again or something has disrupted it. That something being giant ice monsters bursting out of the snow and trying to rip Jason to pieces. The cloak mostly nudges him out of the way of danger, yanking him in a direction just in time for him to mostly miss becoming a monster's appetizer. He sees the bright glow of the portal, but he also smells a monster's breath from right behind him. Jason sprints, lungs already burning, and maybe this means he's got to train more or something. The ground beneath him raises up, and he falls and rolls. For a second, he doesn't know the difference from up and down. The cloak suddenly curls around him, tight and constricting. Jason swears, and then the hood is curling around his face, blocking everything from sight. There's rumbling all around him. He doesn't know how long it lasts. The cloak slowly loosens around him, and Jason finds himself right by the portal. He turns around, and the previously unmarked layers of snow are a tumult of earth and snow and broken trees. He looks down at himself. There isn't even a stain on the cloth.
I don't even know how you know these things, Jason says as Tim examines the cloak for any damage. Like, what the fucking even? How?
Magic, Tim replies.
Clearly.
Tim folds the cloak.
So it helped.
I'm not dead.
I can tell. You have that healthy glow of someone alive.
Tim flashes a smile.
So, two down, one to go?
One to go, Jason confirms. Should I assume that you'll be back with another cloak tomorrow? Or is that making an ass out of you and me?
Tim's smile widens.
Oh, you're definitely an ass, but I'm bringing a cloak. The cloak Tim brings him the next night is black. It's heavy and feels a little like leather, except it doesn't look like it.
Should I wish you good luck, or is this one of those things
where that's a bad thing, Tim says as Jason ties the cloak around his shoulders. That looks good on you, by the way. It's your color. Does black count as a color? And does this come in red? I think you have enough red in your wardrobe as it is. Are you judging my tastes, tragic plaid? Maybe I am. What of it, leather dominatrix? Don't you have a portal to be closing? Tim cocks his hip, holds out Jason's gloves. I also owe you dinner, Jason replies. Tim smiles. That just means you have to come back, right? The portal deposits him in the middle of a dark, hot, rancid-smelling hellhole. Jason gags a little. He has no idea how this is supposed to be a fairy realm. Nothing about this pit makes him think of fairies. There are eyes moving in the dark. They don't seem to linger on him, and Jason doesn't want to give them an excuse to. He moves as quickly as possible in the direction the cloak steers him. It leads him to a dark cavern, illuminated only by the harsh glow of fire pits. But there's no object. Jason stares, looking around. The cavern rumbles. Not an earthquake rumble, not a ground-shattering kind of rumble. It's a kind of roaring rumble. Jason swears, pressing up against the wall of the cavern. It's a giant something, with horns, claws, teeth the size of his arm, and yellow eyes. He thinks that there are hooves. He's kind of fixated on the giant monster's face. Fuck, he swears. So I'm alive, Jason says, collapsing just outside of the portal as it closes. There was a giant monster that nearly knocked my brain through my ear and turned me into a pancake, but I'm alive. Also, I killed it and the portal's closed, so can I get a vacation? Well, you did kind of save the world, Tim says, and Jason wonders what the fuck he's doing here. Did he ever leave? I suppose the least I can do is buy you dinner. Awesome, Jason says, blinking up at Tim's face. Jason feels someone, Dick or Bruce probably, hauling him up to stand. Also, your cloaks have kind of saved my life, so thanks for that. I'm gonna pass out now. The end. Music used in this podfic is Ancient Sorcerer's Secret by Michael Giancino. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!